The colors in Audre Lorde's quote grow more dark and subtle the more we understand the full extent of the problem of class, much like Socrates' dilemma itself, of which it's an expression. She said the master's tools will never dismantle the master's house. Partly to expand our common basis of explanatory concepts and to help us all get on the same page, today we consider what we touched on last week, what is testified to in the appendix which follows the text for today's show, how the evolutionary teachings of Jesus and Paul were neutralized for a time by the power guys. To absorb how that happened, I think we have to grant more weight to the psychic toll class takes on all of us gripped in its jaws across the class ages. The insecurity and sadness of being seemingly abandoned to the fates is not a new thing. It is defining of class, this way of heartlessness that we're told as children and youth we must adjust ourselves to. Quote, the life of the great urban populations of the Roman Empire was characterized by an acute sense of personal helplessness. Crowded conditions and the spread of endemic malaria multiplied the common dangers of death and disease. The supply of food was erratic, dependent on the dubious success of large-scale feats of organization, while war, lawlessness, and the incidental ferocities of arbitrary governments were an ever-present threat. Add to this the fact that the great numbers of slaves and freedmen were constantly exposed to suffering from the cruelty or irresponsibility of their masters, and the general picture becomes one that we cannot contemplate without feeling outraged. With this chaos around him, man could not have had any confidence in his power to mold his destiny. The old beliefs in the value of effort and calculation vanished, and the insecure turned for help and solace to the supernatural. In the failure of reason, magic was invoked as a means of controlling events. Unquote. And this is R.R. Bolger speaking from his article, The Classical Heritage, Its Formation and Transmission, in the book Ancient Civilization, 1000 BC to 400 AD. Now that last bit, as I look at it, is propaganda dressed up as scholarship. The part about turning to magic as a means to control events, the choice between life and power comes to us in many manifestations. Do we believe power, for instance? Or do we believe Nikola when he says that in the early years of the 20th century, he'd invented an EMF weapon? Who's more believable, more honest? Who deserves our credit? What do our hearts show? Prince asks. Do they show us Paul and Prince himself? Or do they run and hide in scholarship that denies the existence of the infinite? Do we credit what Paul experienced? Can we test his guidance as the method to halt the continuous assault upon love of those who long to rule us? Guidance which, in essence, says, understand what happened. See your goodness, do your best to let love live in the world. Hope now is the information we need. Once our puzzle pieces, our sexumvirate are in place, once we see the scams the Plato's tribesmen have been running, the lies they've been spinning for millennia, our thought released by our heart's certainty of the existence of the infinite and righteousness, so we can decide to live fully or die forever. Prince is the good news, the missing information, our certainty of the existence of the infinite. That is the alternative we've been seeking to the duplicity of rule, the way of truth. Paul and Prince tell us, how will they, we, the people, know the truth if they don't hear it? How will they know how to re-feel it, that is, incorporate it holistically in our bodies, if they don't experience its rhythms and harmonies? It's love.